Guys, go back to your seats. I would like for you to turn to Isaiah 61. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 61. One of the great things about the series that we're in on the peace of God, on the resurrected words of Jesus, if you're new to us over the last several weeks, we've been springing forth from a couple of verses in John chapter 20, where the disciples are just really scared to death of the Jews. It's Jesus has been crucified. It's the day of his resurrection. They're locked up into the upper room or into a place, wherever they are, and they're scared. And what they need in their fear and what they need in their anxiety is a word. And I just want to say this. There are people that you will meet this week that need the same kind of word that Jesus gave to the disciples. Same kind of word that you've received in your tragedy, in your loss, in your uncertainty, in your disappointments, in your fear, in your worry. People come into our lives and they speak words of life and words of peace. And that's what Jesus does. The very first thing he says in John 20 to them, it says, peace be with you. And so we've been on a journey of talking about peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with all people. But then in chapter 20, verse 21, on the screen, Jesus says to them another word. And he says again, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And he says this, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now to me, that's breathtaking. To me, that is a breathtaking word that God would say to a group of people and then those that would come after them. And by the way, 2,000 years later, that's you and I who've come after them, that God would give us his peace and then set upon us a great purpose, this great purpose to live life out of. And that is to go to the places God sends us as Jesus himself was sent. Do you understand how big this is? How grand this is? That God would come and save you and deliver you and reconcile you and then give you a ministry and a word of reconciliation. That God would say, that Jesus would say, listen, you know how God sent me? Well, guess what? I'm sending you the same way. I'm sending you just like the Father sent me into the world. And we began this message, this particular message last week, with three words. That we're sent with Jesus, just like Jesus was sent, with the same attitude. And we looked at the attitude of humility and the attitude of confidence. We go humbled that God would call us, and then we would go with the confidence that we would have the Spirit of God in our lives to accomplish the purpose and the will of God in every day of our lives. Now listen, this is not about getting on a plane and going to China. This is about everyday life for the believer. The reason why most believers do not find purpose in life is because they've missed this purpose. And we get so concerned about the consumerism that we put into Christianity and the Christian life and all the things that God does for us that we forget that it's really not about us. It's about our great God and our neighbor. And our neighbor. But first of all, I want to get all comfortable and then we'll go do something. No, in your discomfort, in your own loss, in your own struggle, in your own brokenness, in your own inadequacies, we go. And it may be across the street, it may be across the county road, it may be across the pasture, it may be across an aisle in school, it may be just across a parking lot. Listen, it may be just in somebody else's home, it may be at coffee or a lunch with somebody, it may be in a business appointment that somehow you're able to speak life into that person's life so that you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and me, we are all sent people of God. Please don't miss this about the Christian life. It's not just you get saved and God does a great work in your life. And then we just work on that the rest of our lives. So listen, yeah, there's a working of it, but I'm going to tell you, there's an outflow that comes out of our lives as a result of what Jesus has done with us. It's the same attitude as Christ. Humbled that God would do this and call us. Humble because we know we can't go in our own strength and that we need him. And then confident that he's going to give us that strength to be what Jesus was in his world so that we can be who Jesus is in our world. That's the purpose. You have purpose today. And God has gifted you. He's gifted you with the Spirit. He's gifted some of you with teaching that you're not teaching right now. And you need to be teaching. Some of you have been gifted with encouragement, mercy. You've been gifted with gifts of service. Some of you have been called. Some of you have taken that call and just kind of put it on the side because of things that might have happened in your life. And you may be sitting right now in the pew and a part of the church every day, but still you've got this hesitancy to take the next step. We sang about it earlier. He's called you deeper. He's called you deeper. He's called you higher. And here's the thought. All God wants to do is use you. That's all. He just wants to use you in his kingdom. He sees that much value in us, in you. And I want to say this about me, about our staff and leadership. So do we. Every single one of you have value for the kingdom of God. Every single one of you. Is that right, Jeanette? Do we believe that? Do we believe that, Craig? Chance, do we believe that? Elders, do we believe that? Yes, we believe that. There's so much value here. So much value. And it's not so much that we just want you to go out and do your thing. No, we want to be a part of what your thing is. So that we can be a part of that in your life. You can be a part of us. You go with the same attitude. The second thing that we want to talk about just briefly in these last closing minutes of this service is that we go with the same message and the same ministry. And so what I want you to do is I want you to turn to Isaiah 61. Have you turned there already? Did I ask you to do that? Isaiah 61. Okay, same message, same ministry. Here's an Old Testament passage that is actually fulfilled in Luke 4. It's fulfilled through Jesus. We call this a messianic passage of scripture. In other words, it points directly to Jesus. But it's also, I'm going to tell you this, it is also I'm going to give you a big word here. It's also ecclesiastical message or purpose, and that's the church. It's messianic in Jesus, and it's for the church, you and me. And this is the word. Jesus is going to speak this word several hundred years later, but this is what it says. Isaiah, verse 60, chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now watch, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is a passage that just like Jesus, because Jesus would open this passage and he will say in Luke 4:21, when he reads it, that today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He will open this book in the synagogue and he will open it up the time that he goes back to Nazareth. He goes back, he opens it up to this passage of scripture. And by the way, in those days, Jews had a calendar year for their scripture. Did you know that? I mean, there was a calendar where every day they had passages that they would read. And some think that the day on the Sabbath day, these were the scriptures that they would read. So they had a calendar year, just like you open the book and you have a devotion and you got January 1, January 2. Well, they would read through the Old Testament this way. And so he's in the temple And what I just believe is miraculous, I think it's true. I would just bank on it that's the scripture for the day. Matter of fact, how many of you do that, have a quiet time, and you have it by the day, you know, and you open it up, and that scripture speaks just to your need right then, right here. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you regularly? Yeah, it does. It does. That's why we've got to be in our Word. That's why we've got to be in our Bibles. We've got to know the Word, know the Bible, study the Bible. Live that Bible out. Live that scripture out. And this is what he opens it up to. He opens it up to it, and he reads it, and he probably does explain it, and he probably does do a message on it. But when he closes the book, he says this: the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, what's interesting in the Luke passage is when he says it has been fulfilled, it is in a perfect tense. And it means that this has been fulfilled, it is being fulfilled, and it will always be being fulfilled in your presence. To me, that's the invitation for every one of us, that God is still at work bringing this word of reconciliation to people. Now, I want you to notice something about these things that God has called us to. Like Jesus, you and I bring good news to the afflicted. We bring the good news, and we know now that the good news is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins to save us from our sins, to create a place in heaven that we may be with him forever, that he might save us from the ravages of sin and save us unto himself, save us from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, that's good news, right? Is it good news that he has come to save you forever? Is it good news that he's come to set you free today? Is that good news? Have people heard the good news? Because he says this good news is for the afflicted. The word afflicted literally means depressed in mind, in circumstances. They are the needy. In Luke 4, it's the poor. And there's really interesting. In the Greek, there's two words for poor. One word for poor is you're poor. You have some stuff, but you are poor. But then there's another one that says you're totally destitute. You have nothing. And this is the word he uses. Now listen, when we come into this life, we are destitute without Christ. Is that right? We're on a trajectory to hell. That's where we're at. I mean, that's our nature. Our nature is lost. It's separated from God, and we don't know him. We're afflicted. We are poor in spirit. We are a people that have nothing to offer him. That's why it's grace. That's why it's God doing this, because you can do nothing to save yourself. Nothing at all. Because of the nature of sin and the nature of who we are. And I want to tell you this. That's the afflicted. And if you're in Christ, you're no longer described like that. Now, let me just say this. There are times that we do get afflicted. Is that right? We do. I mean, there's things that come our way and we get afflicted. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 4 says it like this. This is the difference between you and me and the rest of the world. We are afflicted in every way, but guess what? We're not crushed. That affliction doesn't defeat us. That affliction doesn't define us. Yeah, it's a part of our lives. It's a part of the fallen nature, fallen world. It's a part of a world that's gone mad and continues to get worse. Hey, we're perplexed, but we don't despair. We're persecuted, but never forsaken. Sometimes we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And we're always doing what? We're always caring about the body of Jesus, is what he says in that passage. It's a difference. Let me ask you a question. How many people did you see this week that you had contact with this week that's afflicted, like this Old Testament word? They are pressed down. They are hurting. They are struggling. They are lost. They are sinners. I don't say that judgmental. They're lost and separated from God. And they need to hear good news. and they need to see good news. And he says, this is what Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me so that I might bring good news to the afflicted. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And you will be a witness right at home in Jerusalem, and then right across the border in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, he might could have said it like this. Hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Erath County. If you're from Stephenville, Stephenville. Dublin, Comanche County, Hamilton County. Whatever county you came from. I called you to be a witness there because, let me ask you a question. How many of you know that there are afflicted people in Erath County? Yeah, Comanche County, Hamilton County. The Spirit of God's going to come upon you to be my witness in Erath County, in Stephenville, in whatever local town that you're in. But also, hey, let's just broaden it a little bit. Cross Timbers area. Erath County, Cross Timbers, Texas or United States, even to the uttermost parts of the world. I think we would be very hard pressed to say that we attempt to do a good job overseas, but you know, we really neglect home. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Because this is not just about the ends of the earth. This is about right there in your own neighborhood, in your own community, where there are people that are afflicted, that need the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's the thought. The thought is, when the Spirit of God came upon you and saved you, he gave you the same message and the same word of reconciliation. The question is, are you speaking it today? Are you living it? Are you sharing it? Like Jesus, you bring good news to the afflicted. You, like Jesus, you bind up the brokenhearted. You bind up the brokenhearted. That's what he says. Listen, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The word bind up is just, it's a bandage. It's a medical term to bandage up and to bandage up firmly, to wrap firmly. The brokenhearted, the literal word means that the people that are broken in pieces, their lives are crushed, they're shattered. Their lives have been, it's even stronger word that says they've been ripped violently. This is something that's just ripped the life out of them. And it's an ache, and it's in the inner man, and that's where it's happening. And he says, listen, you have the Spirit of God to go on and to bind up the brokenhearted. How does that happen? It happens if you have the church of people who have the gifts of encouragement, the gifts of praying, the gift of teaching, the gift of mercy, the gift of giving, the gift of service, just to be available to those who are brokenhearted. You have this word in you today. You have this word in you. Can I tell you another thing you have? You have the cure to the cancer called sin. You have the cure to lostness. You have the cure in your heart, Jesus Christ, to set people free. That's the next one, right? The next one is that he says is that you are to proclaim liberty to captives, and then he says, and to even set them free. The same word and the same ministry. To see people set free from the bondage of sin and the stronghold and the mess. I want to ask you, church, how willing are you to get off the sidelines of this and get on the field to be the witness that God's called you to be? I'm not saying it looks the same for everybody. Please hear me. It doesn't look like what I do. It doesn't look like what staff does. It has some similarities, but it's what has God called you to? Who are the afflicted? Who are the burdened? Who are the brokenhearted? Who are those that are in prison? And I want to tell you this. When you ask the question and answer it, I don't mind just saying, you can just say, hey, that's my guy. That's my gal there. That's my family. That's that couple, my couple. God's put their name on my heart. And I want to have the humility and I want to have the confidence to go and invest in those lives so that if they're afflicted, they're no longer afflicted. They're saved. If they're brokenhearted, they're being healed up and bound up. If they're in bondage to sin, to strongholds, to addictions, they're no longer bound to them. Why? Because they've been set free by Jesus. Watch this. By Jesus through you. Through me? Yes, through you. Well, you say, I don't have that same kind of confidence. I don't know if I can do it. I think I might have the humility because I can't do it. And you're right, you can't in your own strength. And you can't alone. That's why we ask you. We're available. There's somebody available in this place to help you get to the places where you're fulfilling this kind of ministry of reconciliation. Listen, when these students go, when this team goes, when these builders go, they go with the same message. And that's what's so grand. That's what's so great. And you know, folks, if you don't try, if you don't step out of the boat, so to speak, if you don't make the first move, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. I had the great opportunity when I was fifth grade to pray with my cousin to receive Christ. And I was scared to death. On one hand, but the other hand, it was just natural. It was just natural. The opportunity to share faith with a grandmother that was dying in my home, who would ask me, "Mike, what does Billy Graham mean when he says you must receive Jesus into your heart?" Wow. Listen, Craig is right. This morning we looked at Hannah. And Hannah's prayer to have a child came out of this enormous burden that she would fast and that she would vow to God. And we asked the question this morning in Sunday school. The question we ask is are you a burdened person? Because every person in here needs to have a burden about something. Okay. A burden about that lost person, a burden about that brokenhearted, a burden about that couple that's on the way to divorce court, a burden about that child, a burden about that person, a burden about that church, a burden about those people. We all need a burden. Because out of a burden, you'll pray. And I've just seen it too many times to say this, it's just not a coincidence. I just want to tell you, the deepest burden that you have seems to meet the sovereign God who comes along and says, "Okay, it's time." That's what he did for Hannah. That's what he'll do for us. Like Jesus, you proclaim captives to be set free. And you're called to do that. Colossians 1:13 says he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Let me tell you the same message. The same message is that the Lord anoints us with the Spirit of God to bring good news. To bind up brokenhearted people, to proclaim liberty, freedom, to see them set free, to see them who are mourning comforted. Now I want to close with verse 3. Would you look at that for just a moment? To grant those who mourn in Zion, we give them garlands instead of ashes. 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 You know, when people mourn down, they got in a trash heap and took the ashes and put it on their head in mourning. Woe is me. Talk about oppressed. Talk about negative. Talk about hardship. Talk about all that today. I'm going to ask you a question. You say, "Listen, we don't give ashes away. We give garlands of victory." But sometimes in our attitudes, it just looks like we're handing out ashes. Woe is me. Doom and gloom. No purpose, no hope, no happiness, no joy. But folks, here's the thought. The thought is that he has done this in our lives, and we celebrate it by giving it away. The garland is a symbol of victory. He says, not only do we give garlands instead of ashes, it's the oil of gladness instead of the oil of mourning or sadness. We give the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. Notice these things, folks. This is the life that God has given to us. It is the life that is in us. It is the life to be given away. And I ask you, when Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, will you take that and run with it? And if you need help, will you call me? Will you call one of our staff? Will you call us? So that you might live the same purpose that Jesus had. Listen to me. As the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is sending you. And you can keep a closed mouth about it, or you can speak it at very appropriate times in people's lives. I want to tell you, and when you do that, when you speak of it at the appropriate times, you will see yourself growing. You will see a joy. You will see a gratefulness. You will see the glory of God coming out of your life. I know this might sound strange. I hope not. But let's get to work. Let's go. Let's do this. However God has wired you, and whatever gift God has given you, and whatever vision He's given you, and whatever call He's given you, I'm going to tell you, He didn't take it back. Whatever gift, whatever calling, He didn't take it back. And it's time, sometimes I just think it's time for us to say, hey, I've been on the shelf here, and it's time to get off the shelf and be used of God. So I want you to bow with your prayer, and I want to give you a couple of practical things that you can do right now, right here. Okay? Who's the afflicted person you know right now? The lost person, the brokenhearted, the person in bondage. I would say, God, will you give me a burden for this person right now, right here, this couple right now, right here? I need a burden, God. Burden me with it. We weep with those who weep. Now pray for them right now. Right now, just right now. God, I pray for these right now. I pray, Father, that you would bring salvation to them. And I pray that you'd use me, that you'd open a door right now, this week, for me to share, for me to speak, for me to love on, for me to bless. Right now, God, would you do that? And then just say this. Here am I. Send me. Send me to this group. Send me to this person. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to go like Jesus went. Father, I pray that you'd answer these prayers today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd answer them. And that, Father, that we would be a part of this grand call of God to speak the words of reconciliation. Because as the Father sent Jesus, so he sends us. May we run with that banner to the battleground that you just showed us in those individuals that are burdened, that are struggling, that are brokenhearted, that are lost. God, I want to go to that battleground. Will you open up opportunities for me to share? In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. We're going to fellowship. I think we've got more than cookies out there. Okay, I think we've got cheese. I think we've got cold cuts. So if you join today, and Gilbert and Morgan, hey, can you go with Jeanette to the back? Can you take them? Okay, go on. Yeah. The Morrises, Kristen, Gilbert. Is he over there? Yeah, okay, he's over there. All right. I want you to stand right now, and this is what I want you to do. If you've got kids, go get your kids, okay? And then come on back and fellowship with us, okay? And greet these folks who've come. It's First Sunday welcome. Amen? All right.